No worries. Well, I hope you've all had an amazing Christmas and just enjoyed that time with family and friends. And can get a bit crazy this time of year, so I hope you could also just stop and remember the real reason of Christmas as well. Also, just enjoyed that time of Advent we went through as a church. I personally loved that and just thought that was a beautiful time. So let me just quickly, I'd like to just pray for this as we, before we start. So let me just pray for us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that we can be here today, Lord. We thank you for the sunshine, Lord. We do pray for rain, that you just bring rain on our nation, Lord. Just to also help those bushfires and the firefighters and so on, but also just to bless our land. And we just think of the farmers that are struggling, you also just be with them as well. We just pray as well this morning as we hear the word, Lord, that you can just use me, Lord. We just pray you can speak through me and tell us what people might need to hear this morning. We just pray our hearts and our minds will be open. We just pray that you can use me. Awesome. So Olivia and I were sitting out at the dinner table the other day, and we're actually reflecting on the year that's just happened. And in our first year of ministry, I guess you say at Swansea, we sort of talked about those sort of key things that sort of rocked us, that were really hard and that we struggled with, but also just those really, like those highlights and those really great things that happened. And we also sort of stopped and were like, okay, well, where did we see the kingdom of God working as well? And we sort of had time to say, oh, we saw God doing things here and here and here and here. It was just a beautiful time of just seeing how God had used us, but also used our church in lots of different ways. It was just a beautiful, beautiful time. So I don't know about you, if you like to do that this time of year, to look back and sort of think of those different things that sort of happened and all those sort of things. But a lot of you, if you did this year, would know that it's been probably one of the hardest years for our church. Just, I don't think I've ever seen our church go through so many unexpected deaths, sickness, injuries, court cases, and so forth that just rocked so many of us. It's been a real year of struggle and hardship for our church. And I think one of the highlights for me as well this year was actually to see how our church really grew together in those times and loved each other, cared for each other, and shared in that. So over the last few weeks, I've had many conversations of just on that as well, just saying, oh, I just can't wait for this year to finish, bring on 2020. Maybe you're one of those people. So Matt and I thought it would be really good this morning to look at Philippians 3 for a few good points for us moving into this new year. But before we get into Philippians, I thought it'd be really good to tell you about Paul. So as many of you know, the Apostle Paul, he was this missionary we sort of see, had this incredible time of being, was an incredible evangelist, went out, started the church through Turkey and all the Asia Minor, Greece, went all over that sort of area, that region, planting churches, blessing people, loving people, sharing the good news of God, right? Of Jesus. And through this time of mission, as a missionary, we see through Acts that his journey was not an easy one. It was a hard one. He had many times where it was just so difficult, and he really struggled. In fact, we actually look in the second letter of Corinthians 12, specifically in chapter 11, how hard his journey was as a Christian. And I'm just going to share a little bit of that for you now. So, starting from around verse 23. So he was put in prison, he was whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave him 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I have travelled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from the men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long during many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. So what Paul's talking about there is at the moment in the Corinthian church, they're having this issue of boasting about all these different things. And Paul sort of goes on saying, look, well, if you can boast, I'm going to boast about all these things. And he goes on saying, look, this is how hard my journey is. I've struggled more than almost anybody for this throughout faith. And we see, the reason I wanted to share that this morning, because this year has been a really hard year for many. And we know that the Christian life and the Christian journey is not an easy one. And we see in Matthew in particular, it actually tells us that Jesus tells us that we're going to be a Christian, you're actually going to have to take up your cross. So we see many days that we see that Paul really struggles. Even when writing the letter to the Philippians, which we're about to have a look in pretty soon, he's actually in prison where he's struggling. So some of you might be still looking at that list, thinking of that list, just like, how did Paul get through all that? And I think it goes on Paul continues in that letter to the 2 Corinthians, and we get to chapter 12, and he actually says that God's grace is sufficient for me. My power is made perfect. God's power is made perfect in my weakness. God was with Paul in all those struggles. Now, this verse is really talking about a certain issue that Paul was struggling with, but the point still stands that God is with us even in those hard times. And even as a church today, even this year of struggle and hardship that so many of us have gone through, God has been with us that whole time. And beautiful things have happened, and great things have happened. I just want to look at one more quick passage before we get into Philippians. It's in James. This has been one verse that sort of kept me going this year. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And he goes on to verse 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So many of you, to explain this verse a bit, so many of you would have seen like young couples when they start dating, and it's just this beautiful thing. Like, a lot of people call it like the honeymoon stage, they might call it. And these two young people sort of come together and just everything's just perfect, and they're going along, and this person's just, there's nothing wrong with this person, they're just amazing, like there's not just one like defect in them, they're just incredible, and you're sort of getting along, and I'm sure all of you have gone through that stage at one point in your life, and you're in that sort of a beautiful stage where nothing can go wrong, maybe it still is, but as that relationship goes on, you start sort of picking little things, and you're just like, oh, yikes, I really struggle how they do that, or that thing's really annoying, or oh, they bite their nails, or maybe they don't brush their teeth enough, or whatever that might be, those little things that just like, oh, that just really annoys me. And those little trials that come into those relationships actually help them grow and get stronger and get stronger, and all of a sudden that relationship might turn into a marriage, and a beautiful thing starts to happen, right? But in those trials, if they say, oh, nah, I can't deal with that, I'm not going to handle that, and they walk away, they fall and that relationship doesn't work. And what James is going on about here is in life, we go through these trials, we go through these hardships like our church is going through all this year. But they're there, they aren't there, I've got to say this the right way, they strengthen our faith and they strengthen our relationship with God. So when we go through these hard times, just like our relationships with each other, those little trials and those little hiccups that we have, those hardships, actually cement our faith, strengthen our faith, and just make it into a beautiful thing. And they build us up. So I believe next year is going to be an amazing year for our church to see these awesome things that are happening. And it's been a year of great things as well. Seeing our youth group grow, our young adults ministry is flourishing. All these amazing things are going in our church, mainly music, church, all these different things that are going on. Everything's flourishing and going so well. And I think next year is going to be an incredible year, and it's going to be beautiful. But before we get into like the main part that we're going to be talking about today, I thought it'd be really good for us to stop quickly and actually pray together. So just with the people around you, if you feel comfortable, let's just pray about this year. Like maybe pray about some of those hardships, pray for our church. Let's pray for a fresh 2020, which is going to be just a beautiful year, and to keep bringing that focus to God. So this is our last service of the year. I just thought it'd be good for us to stop for just a couple of minutes, and I might quickly pray for us, and then we'll get into the next part of this sermon. So just for the people around you, just have a couple of minutes just to pray.
I might start it. Lord, thank you for 2019 starting over. Thank you for all the good things. There's certainly been some difficult things that some people have really suffered. Thank you for the growth in our church. Each week the numbers are growing. We have fantastic sermons, fantastic songs and music, and a loving church family. So thank you for what you've given us. And we'll just think of those that suffered this year, and also with people with health issues. Amen.
Thank you, Father God, that you can put your loving arms around people like Pam. On Christmas Day, she spent it with friends and lots of the boys and everything like that. And it's lucky that she belongs to a beautiful church with beautiful people around her, so she's got support from Father God. I pray for this church at home. We pray for that more people keep on coming in the gym. We thank you for this gym, Father God, that it's our way to do an outreach, Father God. We just pray for more people to come in so that we'll flourish and the business will be healthy. And also again, we pray for Mark and Sam, Father, that they will listen to you. We've got wisdom, and we can hear your voice loud and clear so they can take us on that right direction, Father God. Also pray, Father God, for the youth and the drugs in this town, Father God. We pray that there's a stronghold that Satan has on this town and on majority of town. It's everywhere, Father God. But I just pray, particularly for Swansea Cave Speech region, Father God, that you know where it's all happened. We just pray that you can just protect these kids, Father God, from the evil one. And it all comes down to a revelation of who they are and what they want to be. I just ask that you just empower them, oh God, knowing what they want to be and how to walk on this.
Heavenly Father, we just give you so much thanks for a great year, Lord, with beautiful things that have been happening, Lord. And we give thank you for just the growth in our church, but also the growth in each other, the relationships that have grown, all those beautiful things, Lord. But we don't forget just those hardships as well. And we just pray for just those struggles, those trials, all those different things. That there's a lot of us that are still hurting even today. And we just pray that those struggles and those horrible things will actually strengthen us, help us mature in our faith, but also just grow together as a community, Lord. And I strongly believe that we're going to be a stronger church after all this. And we just pray that even in this hardship, Lord, that we'll continue to have compassion and love for each other. And that this is going to be an amazing new season for our church. And we just pray that you can use us in this community of Swansea to just share that love and compassion to anyone we see. That we'll be full of mercy and grace. That you will use us to be a loving church. We pray for this in your amazing name. Amen. Awesome. So yeah, there's been some hard stuff this year, but also some amazing things, right? And I think this is just such a beautiful passage of scripture that we're about to look at in Philippians. And what I love about a lot of Paul's letters is that he's constantly going back to the gospel. And we need Jesus today as much as we need him yesterday and tomorrow, right? So everything centers around Jesus when it comes to Paul, which is so, so awesome. So let me just quickly read just the first sort of chunk of this sort of scripture. Starting in we're in Philippians 3, if you have your Bibles there. We're going to look from verse 12 to 16. I just realised we forgot to do the Bible reading, didn't we?
Yeah.
But that's okay. We'll read it now. Sorry about that, Kerry. Lovely.
No.
All right. So Philippians 3, starting from verse 12. Lovely. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already received perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Verse 13. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree with these things. if you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. So we might just stop there for a moment. So what Paul's saying here is he hasn't actually reached that full maturity as a Christian. The same Paul we just read about in 2 Corinthians and has gone through all those hard things for the gospel has still not really reached that full maturity as a Christian. He's still searching, he's still pushing forward and focusing on Jesus. So I don't know about you, but when the Olympics are on, I love the Olympics. When you get that sort of, I love the athletics, when you see those runners, I swear every Olympics isn't like a new world record broken. There's always something, or at least a personal best, I guess. But it's just beautiful seeing these people have trained constantly all their life trying to achieve this goal, this beautiful goal, and they're running along and they're trying to break that world record, whatever that might be. And if you're watching, if you like the running races and that sort of thing, you'll notice that when a runner is run, they always look in the straight line. Because if they start looking at their feet or if they look at the crowd, that's when things go wrong. That's when they stuff up, they fall, they lose focus, they might stumble, whatever that is, but they generally won't go very well. And sometimes you can see, like, if you go up on YouTube and you type in, like, runners stuffing up or bloopers or whatever you might want to say, or all those sort of things, and it'll generally be when someone's looking at the crowd like, oh yeah, I'm about to win, that's when they usually stuff up and something silly happens. An athlete needs to focus and look at that point forward. And we need to do the same when it comes to this, when it comes to our faith. When hardship happens, we need to press on and focus on Jesus. When good things are happening, we need to focus on Jesus. When obstacles, whatever that might be, we need to focus on Jesus, and that needs to be our point that we're looking at. And we get to verse 17, you brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. So to focus on Jesus, we need to be getting into scripture and looking at those that are mature around us. We need to stop doing our own thing in isolation. We actually need to be able to lead a life and focus on Jesus. We need to actually be getting into the Gospels, reading about Jesus, getting an idea of who he is. We need to be able to quote it. And I don't know if you remember that series we did on bells. We did that at night church, but I think we did like a big one in the morning service. And we sort of talked about being that missional church now that looks like. And one of the things we talked about was how important it is to learn the gospel. And we found it so weird how some of us can quote like The Simpsons or whatever that might be, or our favorite TV show, but there's a lot of us that just can't quote the Bible. And it's this hard thing that, yeah, how can we quote all these different things that we love, and maybe it's some show on Netflix or a book that you love to read, but when it comes to scripture, a lot of us just can't even quote, or maybe we don't even know what our favorite verse is. And to do that, we need to be really getting into scripture and loving it, immersing ourselves in it, so we can actually focus on Jesus, live by his example, and so forth. But also look at other people around us that are mature and growing and loving, that are actually living their life and actually doing the same thing, so we can learn from them as well. That discipleship, mentoring, whatever that might be. I love that that quote, like Dallas Willard, he's a bit of a theologian, he writes lots of books and all those sort of things. I love this idea that he talks about apprentices of Jesus, that we can need to stand up and actually we're trying to learn and grow so we can be more like him. So I guess what I want to get at with this is that we're coming into a new year. Let's try and make this a year that we're really going to say, Jesus, I'm going to focus on you this year. And it's going to be all about you. I'm going to be walking forward. I'm going to be an apprentice of you. Whatever that might be in your mind that sort of helps that cement and concrete, how's that going to look for you? I love that sort of quote from 1 Corinthians that most of you would know, that imitate me as I imitate Christ, that Paul talks about. We need to be looking for these heroes of the faith, you might say, that we read in the Bible, or maybe other people in our life, maybe mature Christians in our church. We have some amazing people in our church that have been Christians for years and years and years that we can learn and grow from and use to be mentored by, discipled by, whatever that might look like. So I want to encourage you that this year will be a year that we can focus on Jesus, we'll be living for him. So I'll just read this next part. So verse 18, we'll start from. For For I told you often before, I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction, their God is their appetite, they brag about shameful things, and they think only about the life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Saviour. So Paul continues to say that we need to follow his example. So we're actually going to do something different. Sorry, it's a lot of different changes. This message this morning, we're going to be discussing different things. I need a couple of volunteers to come up front. So who do we want? Maybe just a couple of young people. Caleb, you're up last on Sunday, so I mean on Christmas Day, so I won't pick on you today. What about Janina? Do you want to come up? You can do it, Janina. That's the way. We'll get a couple of our young adults, I reckon. Ben, do you want to come up as well? Away. Maybe Peter Romans you can come up to, I reckon. Lily, do you want to jump up too, maybe? Why not? And that'll do us. Okay, so I need you to hop in a line for me. Just a line. Maybe a line on there. So I don't know if you remember this game when you were probably growing up, going through school and something like that, but you're going to sort of like follow the leader. So Beck's going to start walking around the room. She's going to do some sort of weird action. You guys need to follow. All right? Okay. Go for it. Love it. That's the way. Maybe change a couple of that's the way. Do some jumping, maybe. Beautiful. That's awesome. Yep, sweet. That's good. Pick up a couple of hopping. Awesome stuff. Okay, you guys can go back to your seats. Well done. You've done a great job. Yeah, give them a hand. Great work. Love your stuff. That was beautiful. But I didn't know you had that many moves, Dave. It's pretty good. That works. So the reason I wanted to do that is who was focusing on who in that? So everyone, there was three people sort of focusing on Beck, and Beck was sort of teaching them how to do something, and everyone was following that sort of example. And we see Paul here, that he's trying to say, look, you need to be an example. Find these examples in your life to follow, whether that reading the gospel and following Jesus, or looking for mature people in your life that can teach you and train you to live a life of faith. So thank you guys for doing that for us. That was awesome. So I want you to remember that coming into this year that we need to focus on Jesus and finding those people, whether that might be. I guess another way to as well look at this is how we can focus on Jesus is actually looking in that verse in Galatians about the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm pretty sure that's all of them. But actually, what are these I'm missing in my life? How can I apply these to my life so I can grow and find these fruits of the Spirit that can actually help me live a life of this faith and pushing along? So the last verse we're really going to quickly talk about, and then we'll start wrapping up. Sorry if I've gone a bit long this morning. But verse 16, let us live up to what we have already attained as we are citizens of heaven. So it's talking about the citizenship of heaven that we are all a part of. So when we commit to Jesus and we make that commitment at some point in our lives and actually become a believer, we become citizens of heaven. And we need to start focusing on that, focusing on our citizenship now, living up to that standard that God asks us to live up to. So we have a fresh start next year. So what are you going to focus on? Is that big thing? A lot of you have those sort of New Year's resolutions that people make, and sometimes that can be, oh, I'm not going to drink as much this year, I'm not going to eat so much, I'm going to go to the gym more, then I'm going to go to the beach more, I'm going to have more time with family, I'm going to have more time with friends. Maybe it's I'm going to try and make more money this year, and I'm going to spend as much. Maybe it's a house, I'm getting a house ready. All these different things that we make New Year's resolutions for. And we focus on, but usually they all fail genuinely. Well, that's my experience anyway. But what are you going to focus on this year? Coming into this new year, a new start, a new fresh year. What are you going to focus on? Now, all these things that I sort of talked about just then, they're all good things, and I encourage you to focus on them as well. But let's not forget to focus on Jesus, right? Let's focus on him. And put people in our life that can actually help us grow and mature in our faith as well. Let's live a life that's focused on Jesus, even be apprentices with Jesus, whatever that might be. Let's live a life that leads out to that. Let me quickly pray for us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that we continue to be your church here in Swansea. We just pray that you can help us focus on you this coming year. That all these distractions that just continually come up, these hardships, these burdens, whatever that might be that distract us, maybe that's family, maybe that's chasing after money, whatever that might be, we just pray that our focus will be on you. And we just pray that you can just use us to serve and love and actually grow in our faith and actually be a blessing in our community. We pray for Sean. Amen.
Thanks, Luke. And let me encourage you also, church, that in the new year, there's so many great ministries that are a part of this church. I'm really sad to say that we're going to lose a creche member next year as Janet moves up to Nambucca Head, so we're going to need some people in the creche. Sam's always harping on that we need people in SB Kids, so let's, when she gets back, let's someone go up to her and say, I'd love to be a part of SB Kids. It'd be great to see more people serving in our church, and I want to encourage you to do so. Maybe that's something you can pray about leading into the new year. I've got a new drummer coming on and I'm very excited about that, and I want to see more people in my music team. So if you have any gifts in that area, come and see me. I'd love to have a chat.